In South Dakota, Indigenous American children make up just 13% of the state's child population. Yet they account for nearly 74% of the children in the state's foster system. Nearly one in five Indigenous American children in South Dakota will be placed in the foster system before they turn 18. If you're an Indigenous American kid living in the US today, you are four times more likely to be taken away from your family than a white kid. That is a shocking and disproportionate situation. What's worse is that nearly 50 years ago, a law was passed in an attempt to stop this from happening. Yet it's failed to improve the realities facing many Indigenous American families today. But what's important to remember is that how Indigenous families are being failed today is not an accident. It's the result of centuries-long campaigns against Indigenous people in the US, the echoes of which still manifest themselves in government policy, state funding, and the family court system. So why are Indigenous children still so vastly overrepresented in the US foster system?
Come to me and said that I wasn't a very good mother and everything, and that my children would be better off if they were in a white home.
To understand how we ended up in this dire situation, we have to look at the past. For over two centuries, the US government and various organizations systematically separated Indigenous children from their families as a deliberate policy of forced assimilation. The most notorious example was the Indian boarding school system, which started as early as 1819. Children as young as three were forcibly removed from their traditional homelands and sent to schools hundreds of miles away. At these schools, they were forbidden from speaking their Indigenous languages, practicing their cultures, or wearing traditional clothing. Punishments for breaking these rules were severe, often involving physical, sexual, and psychological abuse, which in many cases constituted torture. At least 3,104 children are known to have died in these schools, but many more never returned home, their fates still unaccounted for. The idea behind the system was explicit. In an 1892 speech, the Carlisle School founder, General Richard Henry Pratt, summed up this grim philosophy as to transfer the savage-born infant to the surroundings of civilization, and he will grow to possess a civilized language and habit, to, in effect, kill the Indian in him and save the man. The intention can best be seen in these photos from the Carlisle School. In this 2021 proposed bill, the US Congress found that assimilation practices, like the Indian boarding school system, were designed to strip American Indian, Alaska Native, and Native Hawaiian children of their Indigenous identities, beliefs, and languages, to assimilate them into non-native culture through federally funded and controlled Christian-run schools. What I find crazy, though, is that public support for these schools was fading 70 years before this proposed bill, but little was done about it. Investigations, reports, and first-hand accounts exposed widespread abuse, neglect, and cultural erasure. But what happened was, instead of ending the removals of Indigenous children, the government simply shifted tactics and rebranded the practices. From 1958, the Bureau of Indian Affairs and the Child Welfare League of America launched the Indian Adoption Project. All this really did was place Indigenous children with mostly white families. It was just forced assimilation in another form. Policy documents from the time described Indigenous communities as broken, and promoted adoption by white families as a way to give children a better life. By the 1970s, the scale of these removals and the trauma that they caused became impossible to ignore. Studies showed that up to a third of Indigenous children had been removed, often without cause and with little say from their tribes. In 1978, Congress passed the Indian Child Welfare Act, or ICWA, to stop it. The law gave tribes a voice in custody decisions and required that Indigenous children, if removed, be placed with relatives, tribal members, or other Indigenous families to preserve their ties to culture and community. But nearly 50 years later, thousands of Indigenous American children are still being taken from their families, and as a result, are still vastly overrepresented in the foster system today.
They are being rapidly brought from their state of comparative savagery and barbarism to one of civilization.
The Indian boarding school system and the programs and problems that followed are just one aspect of a much broader history, one that's important to consider when looking at the state of the foster system today. Beginning in the 15th century, deliberately designed policies aimed to cut Indigenous families off from their languages, cultures, and kinship systems. The genocide is estimated to have led to a 90% reduction of the Indigenous population in America. Over generations, this has left deep scars. Yet instead of addressing those damages, the family regulation system often responds by labelling parents as neglectful and subsequently taking away their children. Today, one of the most commonly cited reasons for removing Indigenous children is neglect. But neglect is tricky, it's difficult to define, and often gets confused with other things. That's explained really well in this document, the 2022 Human Rights Watch report. It outlines how family regulation systems often treat poverty as neglect, rather than what they really are, which is things like housing instability or just a lack of resources. Critics also point out that culturally rooted practices, like multi-generational households or kinship care, are also frequently misunderstood or dismissed. Another reason often given for child removal is substance use. It's true that many Indigenous communities struggle with higher rates of substance use, but those challenges are due to the trauma and circumstances that many find themselves living in due to generations of colonial oppression. And in some places, Indigenous communities were systematically targeted so that alcohol use was enabled. Here we can see liquor stores and bars deliberately set up just outside dry reservations where alcohol was banned. How the foster system is funded adds a layer of complication as well, because each state receives a different amount from the government per child that enters the foster care system, and this amount is uncapped, whereas federally funded preventative measures are much harder to come by, and this amount is capped. Nationally, the US spends nearly 10 times more on the foster system, adoption and investigations than it does on prevention. This is why critics say that the funding system makes strengthening families more challenging than removing children. Even the enforcement of the Indian Child Welfare Act has been uneven. A 2005 general audit found that 32 states were failing to comply with the law. South Dakota is one of the starkest examples. The state has never codified the Indian Child Welfare Act and has blocked attempts to do so, which has left the state with too few licensed Indigenous foster homes, and so many of those children are placed with non-Indigenous families. This makes reunification harder and severing ties to their culture and community all the more likely. There are, however, some signs of change. South Dakota recently introduced a kinship licensing program to support relatives caring for children within their own communities. It's a limited step, but one aimed at prevention, not just removal. And I just want to take a second to mention Canada, because Canada also had an Indian residential school system and policies of mass removal. But in contrast to the US, in 2008, the Canadian government formally apologised. A Truth and Reconciliation Commission followed, and the government agreed to pay $2.8 billion to hundreds of Indigenous communities to settle a lawsuit seeking compensation for the loss of language and culture. In 2024, US President Joe Biden apologised and called the boarding school era a blot on our history, and an investigation is underway, but most of the burden still falls on tribes. There's been no commission yet, though this is being voted on at the moment, and no reparations. The system was built to separate Indigenous families, and without a real reckoning, it will continue to work exactly as intended.